Hey, Megan.
Hey, Rachel.
How's your week going?
It's like, okay, it's whatever.
An every normal, ordinary week, right?
Right.
Except it's not.
We're going to be on Watch What Happens Live!
Oh my God, you guys, we found out that we're going to be guest bartenders on Watch What Happens Live this Sunday.
Pinch us, because are we dreaming? We are going to be thinking of you, dear listeners, the whole time. Yes. We are doing this for you because we're so excited. Rachel and I will obviously be documenting the whole night on our social feeds. You can find me at Meg Segura on Twitter and Instagram.
You can find me at Rachel Robb on Twitter and at Suspiciously Small on Instagram.
And let us know. Tweet us using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish what you want to know, what you want to see.
Yeah. What are the tchotchkes? We'll tell you. What's behind the bar? We'll tell you. How many people can you cram in there? We'll tell you. Because we'll know. Oh, and by the way, in case you didn't know already, you're listening to The Daily Dish,
Bravo's official podcast. Today, I got to talk to Carrie from The Real Housewives of Dallas.
Yes. I saw her, too, on Friday at the reunion.
Yeah, it's been a rough time for Carrie in these past couple episodes, so we talked all about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to be breaking down The Real Housewives of New Jersey and Orange County.
Yes, this week was so good for both of those shows.
I know.
I was like, yes, we're back in it.
We're doing it. But first, let's get into some headlines. We're here with Laura Rosenfeld, Daily Dish editor for BravoTV.com. Hi, Laura.
Hey, Megan. Hey, Rachel.
Hi. How's it going?
Well, I have a big question for you both. Have you ever dreamed of living in one of the Real Housewives' homes?
Of course.
Well, now's your chance.
What? Who? Where? When?
Well, Melissa Gorga is selling her house in Montville, New Jersey.
Oh, my God. I feel like they once tried to sell it a while ago and
yes,
then didn't.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. they tried to sell it. They were going to move to Franklin Lakes.
Right. I remember this on the show, them like having people come and see their house.
Yeah, that's right. So they were going to sell it. They ended up leasing the Montville house while they were building their Franklin Lakes home. They built the Franklin Lakes home. They moved out of that house, sold the Franklin Lakes home, moved back into the Montville mansion, renovated it, and now they're selling it finally.
Oh, wait.
Hopefully
so
you can follow all that.
There was a period of time where they moved out of their current home and were living in the Franklin Lakes home?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, they actually moved into a different home because they were building the Franklin Lakes home from the ground up. And then I'm not sure if they actually ever lived in that home that they built, but they built it and then eventually sold it, moved back into the Montville.
So where are they moving?
So we're not sure. We don't know. They're just, you know, they're looking for a fresh start.
It better be in New Jersey.
Melissa had this statement to say, explaining why she and her family are moving. She said, quote, "My family and I have so many amazing memories in this house. Joe and I built and designed it from the ground up. However, we decided it was time for a change, and we're excited to see where life brings us next." So we'll have to stay tuned.
I wonder if it's an up or a down grade. Like, are they going bigger or are they going smaller? I don't know. Sometimes people are like, this is too much house for us now.
Yeah.
I can't deal with it.
I'm just thinking about Joe and how he likes more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't blame him.
And this house, remember, has a recording studio in it.
Oh, right.
That Joe
right.
built for Melissa. So if you're looking for one of those in your home.
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
I mean, yes. We are. Obviously, we'd have a dedicated podcast spot.
That's right.
Do we know the list price?
Yes. So the house is on the market for a cool $3.5 million.
A cool $3.5 million. You know, jump change.
No, I wasn't going to place a bid, but now that I know it's only $3.5 million.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, it could be yours for that price.
Anyway.
Good luck, Joe and Melissa.
Yeah, that's right.
What else is going on?
So speaking of houses,
mm-hmm.
If you've been wondering where Luann de Lesseps has been living since she split from Tom, remember she was living in the penthouse.
Right.
The penthouse.
Right. That's right.
Is it back in Sonia Morgan's home for wayward
girls? Oh, God, please. Please.
I would love to tell you that it is, but it isn't.
No.
She's been living year-round. Now she's planning on living year-round in her South Sag Harbor home in the Hamptons.
Which we've all been to with Andy, right?
Yes, that's where they filmed the one-on-one.
We can knock right on that door.
That's right, with some rosé.
Not a bad place to land if you have to. If you have to go somewhere,
I know. It's
I think
not
that
like
amazing Sag Harbor house will do.
Right, that's right.
You know what? I don't know if anyone ever asked Sonia, but who was the better house guest, Luann or Tinsley?
I mean, I'm not going to ask her.
And oh, did they?
I think.
I know. I feel like I remembered that, but I can't remember who she said.
Yeah, I feel like Andy might have asked her on Watch What Happens Live or something, but I can't remember. It's probably on the Daily Dish if you want to look it up.
Seriously. Well, if you remember, tweet us at bravotv.com using the hashtag BravoDailyDish because we can't remember.
So Luann is looking for new beginnings and planning for the future, and so is Jeff Lewis, as we learned last week on his SiriusXM radio show, Jeff Lewis Live.
I had no idea he had a that's the news.
Is that the news? Did you guys not know? Well, it's pretty new. It's pretty new.
Okay.
Gage is on it, which I think is amazing.
How do they have time?
Right. That's true.
They're just in the car. I bet it's in the car. They film it in the
right.
car.
Right. That's the best use of your time. Yeah.
That is so true. A caller asked him if he was planning on having any more kids, and Jeff confirmed that they are going to try for another child. As you may know, they welcomed daughter Monroe last October.
They're going to call her Mo.
And so, yeah, now they're, looking into doing IVF again via surrogate, and they're looking to use Gage's embryo this time around.
His turn.
Yes. And his most viable embryo is would be a boy. So they might welcome a boy in the future.
Wow. That's exciting. Yeah. I have to say, though, I mean, I'm sure Gage's son will be beautiful, but Monroe is so stunning that I feel like I would keep going with Jeff's.
She is so cute.
Yeah.
Are they going to use the same surrogate or the same egg?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know either of those. Both? Maybe neither? I'm not sure. One or the other?
I wonder. I'm just surprised that he confirmed this when, just last week he was on Watch What Happens being like, wait forever to have children. It's the worst to MJ.
Yeah, I know.
So I guess it's not the worst, Jeff. You really like it.
Or maybe he's like, well, we've already started. We got to keep going. Yeah.
Well, congrats.
To all.
Look at all this. Staying in Sag Harbor, having babies.
It's a great house. Having houses. Yeah. New houses. Old houses.
Well, thank you so much, Laura, for informing us on the need to know info.
My pleasure.
And all the links to the stories we discussed can be found in
the description. We tag teamed that. Welcome, Grace, the producer.
And keep looking out for more updates on all this and more on the Daily Dish on BravoTV.com.
So, Rachel, even though you got to go to the Dallas reunion, I got to interview Carrie and Mark this week.
Right.
And that was eye-opening because they had just finished filming the reunion. So I feel like, I don't know, I caught them on a good day.
But before we get into that, let's talk about this amazing episode on Dallas.
So good.
Oh, my God. So it's Brandy Land's party.
Right.
Which... would you have a party named Meganland?
I mean, now I would.
I didn't know it's what I needed to throw.
My name doesn't rhyme with candy, so I don't know. It doesn't work as well.
Oh, I didn't get that. Anyway, Brandyland has a lot of stuff going on in it.
Namely, plastic cups.
Right. Oh, my God.
Did that throw you off?
The plastic cups?
Yeah.
No,
I didn't either. That's what I was wondering.
I mean, I think that usually, when you go to a party like that or, a club or whatever, I wouldn't be surprised if I got a plastic cup.
Right. I think I've been to weddings where there were plastic cups.
I was just at a wedding that had, it had glass. But I'm sure there were plastic cups about.
Right.
For water. There are plastic cups for water.
Yeah.
So there's that. Anyway.
But yeah, Cameron called it out.
Yes. It just was not in Brandy's favor to not have glass.
Right.
Because
Cameron was there.
Yeah.
But it then set up Cameron for the best comedic timing of all time.
Which is.
This is why you have plastic.
It was so good. And it was brilliant, yeah, hilarious.
So good.
And I will say, being at the reunion, Cameron is my MVP, I think.
What?
I know. Isn't that crazy?
I didn't think that's who you would say.
I know. I'm surprised to be saying it too. But she came. She saw.
Did she bring receipts?
She didn't bring receipts, but she brought some really good one-liners.
Yes.
I texted you one of them, and it just made me giggle a lot, which I can't share with the rest of you. But
it was good.
But it was good. But yeah, she really like came to play that day. And before we get into the real drama, I want to just talk a little bit about a little robot friend of mine named D. Simmons 1000.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
I know. In her blog this week, she was like, you can buy anything on Amazon.
I mean, how much do you think that costs, though?
I don't know.
I feel like it was more than $50.
But she also said it was 4 a.m. in Croatia when she was calling in.
Wow.
Dedication. I just thought that was so funny. And like, yet again, another reason why I just love Deandra. Like, I can't be there. I think this was a first. I don't think any of our housewives have segued roboted,
yeah,
at a party.
No, definitely not.
But let's get into the downstairs drama, as I'll call it.
Oh, it was downstairs, yeah, drama. You're right. Yeah.
Grace doesn't appreciate that, but Megan did.
I got it. Yeah. Leanne brought notes.
Yes.
Andy Cohen style.
Like note cards. Like full,
I mean,
on
branded note cards. Like I'm there was probably a Bravo logo on there somewhere.
Right? I was impressed.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that is saying, yeah, I came looking for an argument.
Like, I came looking for trouble. Like,
right.
I'm gonna. But she didn't get a word in edgewise, I don't feel like, because it really just kept being between Carrie and Brandy.
Right.
So all the ladies go downstairs, and Brandy kind of confronts Carrie on saying, you said that you wouldn't be friends with us because of our behavior in Mexico, us being Stephanie and Brandy.
And she did say it. We see that in flashback.
I think they're trashy.
Their behavior toward me has been awful. I can't be friends with them.
Early in the episode, Brandy drops this huge bomb that Carrie was the nanny to Mark's kids with his ex-wife.
I'm not going to sit here and be called a liar over and over again when I've done nothing but protect her, when we both know that she was the nanny for Mark.
But also she says verbatim this.
It's a little obvious that they did have an affair. If something went on with my family like that, that bitch would have some problems.
Like, she says those words, which is so crazy to me.
That was just like talking about in housewives history, hitting below the belt. I feel mm-hmm. like that definitely rings.
Yes. And then she brought it up again in the downstairs drama.
And I know for a fact that you were the f***ing nanny.
And I said this to Carrie, and I stand by it. I felt like she had the perfect reaction, which is just like, truth. Like, and?
100%, I babysat the kids. I was paid by the family.
Because, like, right then, you're taking away the power of the statement.
Right,
because
what Brandy wants is, like, no, I wasn't. Or, like, what are you saying? Or, like, you know, but just saying me, like, yeah, but that has nothing to do with the fact that we got together later.
Right. It was never a secret, which, I don't know, was it?
I don't know. So that's happening, but then you have Leanne with the glass smashing.
Because let me tell you something. Be real.
Jesus, help me.
Be real careful.
I love a glass smash.
Ugh.
Amsterdam. Hello.
Yes. You will not talk about my husband.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You never talk about my husband.
Everybody will know. Never.
Everybody
go
will
near
know.
My husband.
Everybody will know.
You don't understand that.
Everybody
never go
know.
After my
Everybody
husband.
Know what you know
what. What did Leanne do it about?
You're gonna listen,
oh,
or something
right.
like that.
Yeah, something
which
like that.
I, in that moment, felt her energy and her pain, because it's the worst when you're trying to say something and someone just ignores you.
Right. And Carrie's just like, does not have time for Leanne.
You know who I felt for in this whole thing is Tiffany. What's Tiffany doing?
My favorite part is when Leanne is up in Carrie's face. Being like, I hope you lick it up.
Oh, God, that was terrible.
You could see Tiffany's face right next to them, like in the background. Like, tee-hee-heeing, because it just must be so ridiculous to be sitting here and hearing these words come out of these women.
Called F-A-F. Oh, I hope it smells like dog shit. You gotta lick it up.
And also, like, whose side was she on?
Right.
You know what I mean? I couldn't tell.
Right. I mean, I would say Leanne's probably. Right? Ugh. I saw Carrie tweeted last night. She was like, I'm out of the group. What is this, the Spice Girls? It's like, oh, Carrie.
Oh, yeah, because she and Cameron were like, we're out of here.
Yeah. So, again, I think Cameron really, like, stuck up for Carrie this week.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Was, like, there for her. Her friend didn't back down. Did you think, because Cameron's whole thing was, like, Brandy and Stephanie didn't have Carrie's back in Mexico, and that's part of the reason Carrie says, too, that she said that about Brandy and Stephanie. Do you feel like they didn't have her back?
I kind of felt like in that situation, they had their own issues with her. So, like, what does that even mean to have their back? Like, it wasn't like they were standing on Leanne's side. They kind of had their own stuff. Well, at least Brandy did.
Right. And just because Leanne was a person to bring it up necessarily doesn't mean that Brandy's siding with Leanne.
Yeah.
It just is, like, an issue she has with her, and it came out that way.
Right.
These ladies.
I know.
I tell ya.
God bless them.
Yeah. But the reunion.
Tell me everything.
So the reunion. I was able to go because I was getting a bunch of content and behind the scenes videos and pictures.
Yes. Tell me everything.
It was amazing. Brandy, last season, was like super nervous. She spoke like this the whole time and we couldn't get like anything out of her. She was like in a way different place this year and like hilarious, super down to like hang out with us. I asked her if she brought the dildo with her. You guys will have to find out. I asked her if he had a tagline, what would his name be?
Oh, my God.
You'll get to find that. She gave me two. But there's a strong divide between the ladies.
Divided by couches, would you say?
And it's divided by the couches. The couches reflect the,
the
where
state
everyone's
of the group.
At. Yeah, yeah.
Where were they sitting?
So you have Leanne, Deandra, Cameron on one side, and you have Brandy, Carrie, and Stephanie on the other.
What? That surprises me because I thought Carrie and Cameron would be sitting next to each other.
Right, but I think that this season has really brought Cameron, Leanne, and Deandra together because Deandra and Cameron are old friends.
Right.
And then Deandra's always going to have Leanne's back.
Right.
So I think that all kind of happened. But it is funny considering what happened this week.
Yeah.
And Cameron writing so hard for Carrie.
Maybe it just means there's more to be seen this season.
Yeah.
Were there any walk-offs?
I can neither confirm or deny.
What about crying?
Oh, yes. There was crying.
Screaming?
I don't know if they're screaming. I mean, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I said maybe not, and then I remembered a moment, and I was like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm excited for that.
Yeah. No, it was the best reunion I've ever physically been to.
Awesome.
It was so good.
Well, Carrie was also at the reunion.
Yes.
And
I mean, yes.
So let's talk to her. Hey, everyone. It is a special day because I have Carrie and Mark Duber in with us. Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you for having us.
I just have to ask. I know you just shot the reunion on Friday. And that's and then as a viewer, it's like, I see you going from the Mexico trip to this Winter Wonderland party. And then to hear that you went to the reunion, is it like, do you just need to take a nap and lie down?
Yes. Basically, like, I feel like I have been through a war and come out the other side. I mean, it's been tough. Like, I feel like I've been very emotional, I think, for the last, you know, month, just watching it back and just seeing what all happened. I just, because I felt really alone after Mexico and just felt, you know, real Debbie Downer on myself and just all of my relationships. I just felt really like isolated.
I don't want to spoil it too much, but for the reunion, do you feel like you came out on the other side? Do you feel like
you know, I feel like I got to voice my opinion, which is always important. I feel like I got to tell my truth and how I felt. you know, I think it went well.
I feel like I saw her smile for the first time in about a month when she was wrapped up with that. And so that was great. That was good to see. So I think she was happy about how it went.
I was. I mean, I was happy that I got to have my voice and just to, you know, address things that happened that I was like, wait a minute, you know, that's not how that went. Or, you know, get my perspective on that or my point of view. Like, I wish that – I feel like a lot of our issues on the show is just communication, you know, and had we had better communication, then none of this would have happened.
Is it hard for you, Mark, to watch her go through this?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard. I mean, she's my best friend, and I want her to be safe and happy and not hurting, and it's just terrible to see that. It makes me crazy, and I want to step in and protect her and take her away from it. But I know, you know, she's a big girl, and she's gotta fight her own battles, and I can't do that. So it's a very tough struggle.
You've inadvertently been brought into the drama this season. What? Look on your face like at all.
I don't fully understand why.
You're really popular, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm so popular anymore. You know, I mean, we had a couple of rough weeks there. You know, I was grumpy here and there, and people think that's who I am all day long, but you know, I'm not. Last year, I think they saw a different side of me, and I thought, you know, most viewers kind of liked me, and this year, I'm not so sure.
Well, I haven't
really changed.
No, you haven't changed. I mean, I think, you know, you have good days and bad days, and that's just normal, and that's just life. And anyone who can sit there, you know, not in front of a camera and be like, oh, well, you know, I just have great days every day. I mean, you're lying. I mean, everybody has a bad day.
The thing, you know, well, gee, that they got cameras following him. You'd think he'd be on better behavior. Well, newsflash, you know, cameras don't follow you if you're always on your best behavior. Then they're not going to be there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely have our moments, and I think that's normal.
Yeah.
Well, this episode will air after the Winter Wonderland episode airs, so I did want to ask a little bit about that.
Sure.
Crazy, crazy night. Was it even crazier to be there in person?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was not feeling it. I felt like it was an ambush the minute I walked in, like the energy. I'm a yogi. I can kind of feel and sense what's going on. And I walked in and I was like, oh man, like this is bad.
Well, she kind of knew it even when she was getting ready. We kind of talked about it when she was getting ready.
It was coming off. Yeah, you were going to a plastic surgery meeting. I mean, it was coming off of Mexico, and I already felt like just so defeated, I think. And you know, I felt even more defeated and betrayed after the white party. I just felt like, oh my gosh, like maybe no one does want to be my friend. Like maybe, you know, it's like you're in high school and you're like, oh, you know, I just got thrown in the locker and like, or thrown in the trash can, you know, like I'm, you know, I felt very like very alone, very bullied and just, you know, sad. I was just really sad. And I just I think that night I just kind of shut down and just I couldn't even fight. I didn't even have it in me. I was just like, you know, I can't even put up a defense, and nor did I want to, nor did I care to, nor did I feel like I should have had to. You know, I didn't feel like I deserved it.
When you said to Brandy, you go, I'm so bored, did you mean like, I'm literally bored in this party?
No, I was bored with the fighting. I was bored with the situation. I was bored and just tired of the drama. Like, just absolutely drained. Just drained. I mean, I was all I could do to even get to that party. And then I could tell that Brandy was, like, pissed at me. and I didn't know why. I didn't realize it was, you know, because of, you know, what I had said at the boat, that I said that I wouldn't, you know, I don't know if I can be friends with these girls. You know, that was at that moment, that was how I felt. And that was a true statement. And I did say that. And I, you know, I feel badly now, of course, that I said that. But at the same time, you know, I feel like I got pushed there. You know, I was in a bad spot.
Brandy also brings up that you were a nanny for Mark's family. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I thought you handled it so well and that you were like,
that's
a fact.
You know, I wasn't, I wasn't the nanny. I babysat the kids probably a handful of times when Mark and his ex-wife were in Europe together. And so because I was an employee of Mark, if I wasn't operating, if he wasn't there, I don't operate on my own. I don't know if anyone realizes that, but I'm a nurse. He is a surgeon. I operate with him. I don't do procedures when he isn't there. So I had nothing to do for the weeks that he is in Saint-Tropez or in Switzerland. And so I, you know, would graciously actually watch his kids, take them to school, pick them up, and feed them while him and his ex-wife were out of the country.
Well, it actually happened the first time because I went on a trip to Saint-Tropez with a couple of plastic surgeon friends of mine. We went on a couple's
trip.
Who
I also worked with.
And Carrie had worked with both of them at times, and she had babysat one of their kids. And they're like, hey, she could watch your kids. She's watched ours, and she's great. She's trustworthy. And I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
I mean, these guys, I don't even
And the kids loved her.
You didn't pay me.
Well, I mean, I think you were paid your salary.
Yeah, well.
So
I'm just saying, I was not a paid nanny.
I think she needs a retroactive bonus.
I'm like, hey, I'd be the other guy. The other guy, I don't know. Did anyone ever pay me? I just did it out of the kindness of my heart. Like, it wasn't like I was like, oh, I'm going to be a nanny for, like, you know, a hustle, a side hustle. It was, you know, I was doing it to be nice. And these are respected surgeons in our community. And, you know, they wanted someone they could trust, and they know they could trust me.
But, you know, on a side note, I mean, people are still trying to throw some scandal out there about how
people
we got together.
Scandal.
And
just dirt.
Everybody's going to believe what they want. Yeah, and it doesn't matter at this point. And we don't care.
We've been married 8 years. We fell in love.
Yeah.
We're together. The end.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to believe we had an affair, believe it. We didn't, but go ahead and believe it. It doesn't hurt us either way. So.
Either way. Doesn't matter.
Let's move on.
Well, I did want to ask if you had ever asked Brandy or Stephanie not to reveal that.
No.
Okay. Because I think that's just
something. No secret. Mm. It was not a secret. I mean, that's, you know, it's, you know, whatever. I mean, it's not on the Dallas brochure. I think it's just not an important, like, fact or anything. You know, it just is what it is. So
I know in an upcoming episode, we're going to see you, Mark, kind of confront Leanne about some rumors she's been spreading. Do you think, looking back, it was good to you know, put it out on the table and confront her, or did it hurt the situation?
Point of view, it is absolutely good to confront people and be direct. And I think that, you know, that's what people should do in general when there's conflict, is you should not go around that person and talk to a third party. You go to the source and you say, this is what, you know, is going on. This is what's going on. What do you have to say about it? As opposed to going around to someone else and saying, why is this going on? So, I mean, from my point of view, it helped the situation. I don't know if it did from her point of view or from anyone else's point of view, but I feel better. That's generally the way I like to handle things, is to be direct.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that he deserved to be able to talk to her too, you know, face to face, and not hear this through a third party and, you know, get an explanation, or at least, you know, I think that Leanne's a little bit of a coward. You know, she can say it behind his back, but you know what? Say it to his face. You know, if it's about him and you have such animosity toward him, you know, he's right here. You know, have a conversation. I just think her making up these rumors and then spreading them around to hurt us is just really low. And I don't know what her end game is. I think she wanted me gone. I think she wanted me out of the group of friends. I think she's trying to spin that into saying I wanted her out of the group, but yet I'm not the one spreading all these rumors and lies and trying to bash her character. She's trying to bash our character and trying to make people think that we're not good people. And it, you know, it's frustrating. It's just frustrating to have to deal with stuff like that and deal with people with that kind of attitude and that kind of negativity. I'm just such a positive person. I like to have positivity in my life and positive energy. I think it's really important, especially with having kids and a practice. And, you know, it's not how I roll.
Cameron seems to be a real ray of light this season for you, like really having your back.
Very much so.
How would you rate her first season as a housewife?
I mean, Cameron really, really stuck up for me and is a true, you know, she's a friend to me. She's new to this. And I don't know. I don't think she intentionally does. You know, I don't know. She's a sweet girl. And she just needs to be herself.
Yeah. That's actually a popular sentiment, not around Cameron necessarily, but first-time housewives.
Yeah, because I think you don't know. You're like, do I be myself? Because, like, when I sit and chat with Cameron, like, and I think you see it. I think you see it in Mexico. I think you see it at the white party even and everywhere else. I think as the season progresses, you see, you know what, she's a real person. And she's being a real friend. And I think that really is who she is.
Great. So before you guys go, I have to get all of my fangirl questions out of the way about the reunion. But sadly, listeners, you cannot be privy to any of that yet. So before we get into the deep, juicy secrets, is there anything you can tell us that teases the reunion?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I think that I got a lot of factual information out that was really important to me and was like weighing heavy on me, especially with the plastic surgery stuff. It was really important for me to know that, you know, I'm a nurse, and first and foremost, I want to look out for patient safety and want patients to have the best outcome possible. So, you know, that was really important to me. And I think that, you know, I got to resolve some stuff like with Brandy, which was really, really important to me. I love Brandy. She has a heart of gold, and I feel like I had a rough season with her. Like I it was hard. I mean, she really hurt my feelings and I hurt hers. And, you know, I think we're going to need some time to work through all of it. But I think that we're off to a good start. Stephanie and I, of course, are good and close. And I think we work through anything that we had, which, you know, she's been pretty supportive after all of everything I've been through. She's been very supportive. And Cam, too. You know, Leanne and I don't even know what to say. You know, I don't know where to go. I'm just kind of at a loss.
Given that this was kind of a rough season, mm-hmm. and that your name was sort of dragged into it, have you guys discussed if, you know, Real Housewives of Dallas comes back, God willing, and you guys are asked back, would you want to do another season?
I think we'll have to weigh the pros and cons of it and kind of go from there. I mean, I think, you know, the thing about Mark and I is we're not quitters. You know, and I think when we make a commitment to do something, we do it. So, you know, I think that's where we're at. You know,
that's not a yes, by the way.
It's not a yes. It's not a no. It's a maybe.
Who will be talking who into it?
You answer that.
I don't know. I think you'll be talking me into it.
I think the reality is that you don't get asked every day to be involved with something like this. And I don't think Carrie has any interest in being a reality TV star per se. But I think both of us believe that life presents you opportunities. And, you know, life is like a path and there are doors along that pathway. And you don't get to see what's on the other side of the door until you go through it. Mm-hmm. And so it would be very hard philosophically to say no to an opportunity that you don't know what else it could bring. And so I think that's the big challenge. It's not, oh, I don't think she's excited to jump up and down and say, I can't wait to relive that and go through it again. Let's see what happens next year. You know, right. Maybe one of us could be a, you know, serial killer or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, or yeah.
So
who knows?
So I think from that point of view, the answer is definitely no. But the question is, you know, you don't get opportunities like this.
Yeah, I think we'll just
and we are people who look for the positive in an opportunity, not the reason not to do it.
We always look for the silver lining.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, we'll continue to do that.
We touched on this a little bit mm-hmm. with Rachel at the reunion shoot, but are there any other housewives you're in touch with that are sort of offering support or that you would reach out to for advice?
Yeah. Dolores and Siggy both have just been lovely and super helpful. Like, I mean, I called Dolores the night before the reunion. I'm like, you know, and just talk me off a ledge, you know, and they're just great girls. So it's really lovely to have established those friendships and know that, like, if I need something, I can call any of them or text any of them, and they're there for me.
Well, because we're Bravo, because we're dealing with housewives, I have to ask.
Yes.
Any Bravo celebrities you've met that you were like, oh, not so nice, not so supportive?
I don't think there's anybody I've met, I mean, really, that has been like, has been like an a-hole.
Good.
That really has. I mean, everybody's been so nice, like, to be honest. I mean, I was super excited I got to meet Jeff Lewis when I was in L.A.
I love him.
I love him. He was just like, I was like, I was like totally geeking out. He was so nice. But yeah, no, I haven't run into a mean one yet, but I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, email me if you
want. I mean, I will. I mean that, you know, other than the ones I'm really close to.
Right, right. Well, thank you guys so much. This was great.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us. It was really fun.
Thanks.
All right, let's get into another Housewives that was on this week. The Real Housewives of New Jersey. I'm still like not, it's back, and I haven't fully appreciated that it's back into my life. And then every time I see it, I'm like, yes!
I know.
I'm just so happy.
So exciting.
So good.
And it's really been impressively good this season so far.
Oh my God, so
like,
good.
Beyond what I was expecting.
Me, yeah, and I knew about the whole cake debacle. I'd seen some of those scenes already, but I did not know. And I had spoken to both Siggy and Margaret separately, and I thought I knew, but then watching it, I'm very conflicted about
right,
the whole thing.
Right. Well, because you love both of them.
I do.
Yeah. I love Margaret's accent. It's so strong.
Oh, I know. I know. It's
all
so
of the
strong.
Omelet with bacon, avocado, and
oh my
cheese.
God. It's like, I have to feast.
I have to feast.
It's like so. It's so Jersey. It's so amazingly, gloriously New Jersey.
Yeah.
But let's get into it. This is post cake, post Boca.
Mm-hmm. We're back from Boca.
We're back from Boca.
Still talking about the cake.
Still, and it's not going to end, as we saw at the end of this episode. Next week it continues.
Right.
Oh, I just want to talk about this whole time, because I met them both, and I feel like I've spiritually connected with both Siggy and Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it's a case of, like, stubbornness. Like, I think if both of them would just, like, let it go. And I feel like Margaret is even trying to do that. And I really want to know what Siggy is thinking watching
right.
it and watching Margaret in interview and watching her interact with the other ladies when she's not there. Because it's one of those situations where I think you think the worst of someone, so you assume they're all saying horrible things about you. But I really do think Margaret was just trying to, like, move things along. I don't get why she got so emotional, but she did. But let's just move on.
Right. I don't know. I feel like it probably wouldn't have lasted this long if not so many people ended up on Margaret's side in the beginning. Because then now it's like, oh, so I only have Dolores on my side?
Right.
Cool. So now I'm just pissed at everyone.
Well, what I thought was interesting was when Teresa and Melissa were talking to Joe about it, about what happened in Boca, and Joe was like, but Dolores set her straight, right? And they were like, no, Dolores was on Siggy's side. And when Joe was like, she's like family. I've known her since I'm 16.
Did Dolores straighten her out? Because
no, she's so far up Siggy's ass that, I mean, I couldn't even pull her out.
Really?
Yeah.
She's like family. We've been together since we've been kids.
Right, I was saying to Rachel, like, that turn of phrase is very strange to me.
Right, it's like your ear catches it.
Yeah. I've known her since I'm 16.
Yeah.
You mean since you were 16? I'm confused.
I always notice it on Sex and the City because I always go, I've been doing it since I'm 12. I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Since you were 12? Anyway, tri-state area, though, I think gets it. Yeah. Grace, our producer, is like, I say that. I get it.
She's also like, this isn't funny. Keep going.
I know. She's like, anyway, moving on. So, yeah, what do you think about Dolores and Siggy and sides?
Well, I don't know. Like you said, I see both points of it, I guess. But of the two parties, which would you have rather gone to?
Ugh, okay. I don't know, because I wrote down that I wanted to hang out with you in pigtails and do the charcoal masks and take a picture.
Right. That was my instinct, too. That, like, first of all, I'd love to do a slumber party a la Dolores and Siggy at Siggy's house, because that looked fun. You're in your comfy matching PJs, doing a mask, good for your skin, and drinking wine.
Right.
But the other party, you had lots of people, and you had all the rest of the girls, and pineapple juice and rum.
I know, and a cotton candy martini, whatever that is. I mean, I wrote down that I wanted to live in Margaret's house. Like, I feel like me and Margaret are very similar people. Mm.
Like Poochie.
What does that mean?
You like Poochie, the designer?
I didn't know that's where you were going with it.
No. But yes, I thought you meant I'm like Poochie. Like,
oh my God! Can you imagine?
No, like she likes bright colors. Right, she's kind of crazy, yeah. In the best way, because I think I'm crazy too. But so I was like, oh my God, I want to be at that party. I want to live in her house. I love her decor. She seems super cool.
It's funny that you love her house as it's like under construction heavily.
Well, not that part, right. Not the room with nothing in it, but like the room that had like the green couch and like the cool pillows. Yes. I was just like, me and Margaret could get along. And then I was like, Margaret, please send me a really cool makeup bag because I love them.
Mm.
I was like, your style is anything like that. I'm sure your bags are like that and they seem really cool and I want one.
Macbeth collection.
Right. And I also wanted an Envy hat.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But something else happened in this episode, and we'll get to that diner meetup at the end.
Okay.
But I wanted to talk about, A, we hear more about Teresa's book, and B, this whole restaurant thing.
Yes. So I was telling Rachel, oh my God, like I have to talk about Teresa's book because I read it from cover to cover. Very quick read. Very good read in terms of like if you like Teresa, you like Housewives, you like any sort of shade, you will like this book. And she mentioned Joe's Restaurant. She said in the book that, you know, she had helped Joe. She was part of it. And she was like, I was really excited when the New Jersey paper wrote about it. But what's weird is they only wrote about it as Joe Gorga's restaurant, and I'm clearly a part of it. That was weird to me. And it's like, that made it into the final draft of the book. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's like sometimes you say something, you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that, but like, this went through edits probably, and she read it again.
And there were so many comments like that about Joe Giudice, Joe Giudice's mother, and Melissa.
What?
I mean, not crazy things about Melissa, just like little,
little digs,
little needling,
right?
Oof. So fans, you need to check it out.
What did she say about Joe's mom?
I won't spill all of it, but that basically Joe's mom blames Teresa for the fact that her son's in prison.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I have to read this.
And again, all I'm thinking about is, did Joe know she was going to be writing these things? Had he seen a draft of the book before it was published?
Has he even seen it yet?
Since, yeah. I don't know. Because those, I mean, it's one thing to say things about the future of your marriage and how you're uncertain. It's another thing to bring up the mother-in-law.
And of all people, Teresa would know. Because family and like,
yeah.
Are you a Gorga?
Right.
Well, I thought we were going to be singing this episode with a restaurant. She's not a Gorga. She's a Gorga by marriage. But I guess that comes later in this restaurant.
Yeah, maybe next episode, because she said something to Melissa about like, okay, when she said she didn't want to be a waitress.
Right.
Would you be a waitress if you had to?
No.
I already warned him. I'm not doing that.
So this episode is when Joe springs on Melissa that he bought this restaurant.
I wanted to surprise you.
What?
I bought this place.
I'm so confused right now. You bought a restaurant?
Yeah.
You signed for this already?
It's done.
And then he kind of makes it be about it's for his dad. But I was kind of like, this seems like an excuse later.
Right. Like you can't use that card necessarily to get out of being in trouble.
All right, but listen, you want to know why? Because now it gives my father something to do. He's going to come in and show him the homemade recipes. He could come every day. He even spends 3-4 hours a day, you know?
Right, and it reminded me of Stephanie Holman and Travis.
Me too.
Just buying the house without telling her. I mean, both of these situations I would lose my mind. Melissa was being very kind to him.
Right. Because, I mean, it's one thing to buy something that is, of course, going to be huge and profitable. Restaurants are tricky.
Right, and you have to put a lot of effort into them. It's not like, it would be even something if he was like a silent partner or something, but it sounds like they're going to be very active with his dad going in all the time. And she knows of all people because she's running a business.
Right.
So she knows what it takes.
Plus he has his other businesses. speaking of businesses, I was very interested in the fact that Melissa liked Margaret because she could, like, get her in with, like, understanding about business and stuff.
Right.
I was just like, oh, very interesting. Very savvy, Melissa.
Turns out Margaret and I have a lot in common, and while we were in Boca, we really bonded about being in the same industry.
You design these?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do you come up with all these, like, prints?
We design all our own prints, and we copyright them.
Wow.
You know, I think we definitely have to talk. I think you could do a lot of stuff, and, you know, I'll introduce you to some right people.
She's got so many different licensing deals and products, and, like, she has a lot that she can teach me, and I am all eyes and ears on her.
But back to Margaret and Siggy. They have this text exchange the night of the double parties.
Right.
Which I didn't think was insincere, but Dolores right away was like, that's phony. Or what did she say? It's perfunctory.
Because it's perfunctory. It's what? She's doing it because she has to.
It's perfunctory.
Oh, it was so good. I just love Dolores.
I love Dolores, too, because she gets so heated.
Yeah, she gets so, like, just, like, I'm not going to take it. Like, oh, I love it. And she was like that when I talked to her. She was just like, let me tell you. Like, very, like, it was so good. So then they go to this diner the next day.
Right. Oh, I mean, Siggy got cheese fries. Margaret got an omelet.
Yes.
So they were really
bacon,
eating.
Avocado and American cheese. I remembered the order.
And yeah, like, I have to say, so it started out so angry. Both were just, like, not backing down. A lot of, like, just mean comments, I felt.
Yes.
And then it got really petty with, like, who knew Joan Rivers better?
My timing is perfect. I'm like Joan Rivers. I'm sorry. It's funny.
And I think I'm more like Joan Rivers. Listen to me.
Soggy Flicker is a Joan Rivers line.
Let me just say something.
Bring it.
This is where Joan Rivers is.
I know Joan
Rivers. This is where you are.
Do you know Joan Rivers? Because I've been to a million parties at her house.
Honey,
before she passed away.
I know. I did meet her 3 times.
Oh, my God.
It's just kind of like, is this really happening? Are we fighting over who knew Joan?
Yeah.
And who is more like Joan Rivers, who's an actual person? Like, it was so strange.
So strange. But then I felt, I got, like, that warm, tingly feeling at the end when it's, like, finally Margaret saw Siggy break down and is like, oh, I didn't mean to do that.
When we're in a group of people and Siggy's crying hysterically, it's very theatrical. All right, don't get me crying myself.
I can't.
But when we're alone and she's crying from what we're discussing, I actually feel horrible because I never want to make her cry. I'm a f***ing wise ass, but I would never want to hurt your feelings.
Right, and I liked the whole time Margaret being like, I'm brash, I'm bold, but I never want to make another woman cry. That's, like, not who I am.
But my intention is not to ever, ever make you cry. Well, my intention is to be funny, and I am funny.
And it's funny because I think this happens a lot on Housewives. It's like two people you think would get along really well because they're so similar. Because Siggy also is, like, loud and obnoxious, quote-unquote, and, like, it's just going to be in your face. You would think that they would, like, bond over that, but that did not happen.
Yeah, but so by the end, they're, like, kind of laughing about everything.
Right, but I will tell you, from speaking to them both, this is not over.
Right, I was going to say the same thing.
Like, not over at all. Like, Siggy is still, like, in it. There were two things I wanted to point out just really quickly. Number one, did you notice that Dolores's gold interview outfit was hanging in the kitchen when she was talking to Frank?
No.
Yeah.
So she was, like, maybe going to shoot the interview that day?
Maybe, or, like, she had ordered a bunch of stuff to see if it would be good interviews.
Yes.
So I thought that was funny.
Before we get into the next show, I was in a meeting that you missed, and I have to tell you something.
Oh, no, what?
I watched the first act of Vanderpump Rules.
I wanted to go to that, but I just had, like, so much to do today.
Yeah.
And I still will have 1,000 things to do because I'm going to the Dallas reunion tomorrow.
So you and I interviewed Jax, and he said, it's bad. That's mm-hmm. all I'm going to say. It's bad. You find out in the first minute what that thing is.
How bad it is. Oh, my God. I'm so jealous that you've seen it.
You're going to die. So we have your interview with Shervin that we need to get into. But first, should we talk about the finale?
Yes. Yes, please. Kevin Lee just can't get off our network.
I mean, thank God.
I know. I mean, I was not sad to see him. I was very happy.
He's amazing.
Right.
Love him. He throws a great party.
And like one of my favorite movies of all time is Father of the Bride.
Right, which in case you don't know, but you should know, the character of Franck is based off of him.
Like literally based on him.
That's wow. what we're giving you. Wow. People.
So he's planning this like Winter Wonderland Shaw's party.
Right.
That everyone's getting very dressed up for.
I love a good dress. By the way, like that's the thing I love most about our Bravo shows, because I don't live in that world where your friend throws a party and you are wearing like
a gown.
A gown that costs a couple $1,000s.
Literally, I don't think I've worn a gown since my prom.
Right.
Like I don't just have a couple hanging in my closet.
Right.
I wish that was my life. Like, if anyone out there can make that my life, please do. Okay, I want to talk about something silly and then something serious. Something silly. MJ's apartment was so amazing.
It was so gorgeous.
Right? It was so cute.
Like, you can bring a baby into that apartment.
Yeah, a baby will be fine. You thrive even. No, I thought I couldn't believe that they were able to do that. And I feel like it was not a long period of time.
I know, because that's what I wanted to know. What was the span of time where you have everything, like from down to like what kind of knobs you're going to have.
Right. And remember her picking out the like, knob took like 3 hours. So what I'm thinking maybe happened, and this is complete conjecture, is when they were in New York, maybe she was just like, do my apartment designers, God, right?
Don't you wish that you was also your life?
Your just be like done and perfect. I thought I made a really good point about something and I lost it. It was about this fight with MJ and Vita on the way to seeing her dad. Which,
oh,
like,
yes.
Every scene makes me cry with her dad. It's like too much for me to handle.
Not being able to bring my dad home for Thanksgiving dinner was the shittiest thing I've ever had to deal with.
Who's going to visit the patient at 8 o'clock?
So I'm gonna take Christmas to him in matching PJs.
It's not right.
You haven't seen my dad in over a month.
Stop yelling.
Why should I stop yelling?
Because I don't want to hear it. We're gonna go see Shams. We're gonna take a nice photo.
What I love about our network is that we don't shy away from like showing that people and families aren't easy, and they're always fighting. And, like, Vita's very difficult. I feel like every time we see her, it's a fight with MJ. And that's, like, reality.
Right.
And I love that about MJ. She'll just, like, warts and all, you know? And that's, like, a big point of contention with Asa, you know?
What I love is how you just see Tommy really... It's not like he's the peacemaker, because he's so loud. But at the same time, he is, like... You guys just need to shut the hell up. Like, what is going on? I'm spending Christmas with you. Calm it down.
Right.
Come on. Stop. This is Christmas. I want to feel good about the fact that it's the holidays.
Okay, we promise.
Okay.
Now you'll be happy because it's Christmas.
Yes, thank you.
I just want it to be Christmas.
Right.
And they were like, 1, 2, 3, Christmas.
I just think he is the best thing to happen to this family.
Me too. I love him so much. And we didn't get to talk about it, but when she went to Queens and, like, we met his family and we heard his backstory and, like, it just, I was so, and the way she described his family is like, his family's like chocolate ice cream with like whipped cream on top and cherries. It was just so beautiful. And I was just like so happy for her.
I know. Genuinely.
And they just seem like good people and good for each other.
I will literally be crushed if they don't make it.
I don't even want you to say those words. I would die. But speaking of relationships, two other relationships we kind of saw this episode. Number one, well, three actually, Reza and Adam.
Right.
And I know you hung out with him one day recently.
Uh-huh.
And they're still on the baby path.
Yeah. I mean, but hard to say though, like, you know, I always wonder how much is someone giving sort of the...
What's happening in showtime versus real time?
Yeah, you know, he knows I work for Bravo, but at the same time it seems like he was being very just like open, but yeah. And also, you know, people like to present a polished side of things. It's no easy feat.
Right, no. And this was, you know, the end of the season, and I feel like they've been doing this for so long that, like, they probably don't even see the cameras anymore, whereas, like, if you're on a press tour, you're very aware
right.
of what you're saying. So it seemed like they're good.
Yeah. But. No, I mean, Adam wasn't with him, but he seemed happy, content husband.
Good. And then we see this Mike and Jessica. We find out about this letter, which just reminded me of the notebook, obviously. I wrote you every day. That's it. I know it was like one letter to her mom, but to, right. to Mike's mom, but.
Jessica sent an email, right? Yeah.
What about the email? What do you want?
She was apologizing for everything.
Yes.
I thought it was very sweet.
So we find out that Jessica actually wrote a letter to Mike's mom to be like, I'm sorry for everything and I want to get back with Mike, kind of, is what I got from what Gigi said.
I mean, what is she apologizing for?
Oh, I know. But that's the whole thing, is that I think Mike's mom is like, she said in the episode, there are ups and downs, but you don't just leave.
Mm.
And I think that that's where she draws a line of like, yes, Mike did something wrong, but you chose to leave my son and you made him go through all this pain, which does not make sense. But I think that's where she's coming from. Because right. like, well, he shouldn't have cheated either, Mom. Right. But... like, ugh. You can't blame Jessica for leaving when he's cheated on her, you right. know?
It just seems like even the group of friends were, like, kind of okay with if they were to get back together.
I think they were supporting it. I think right. they all, because I think that's what, they think that's what Mike really wants. I can't speak for Mike. I don't know. But just from
why
what I'm seeing.
Why wouldn't you want Jessica? She's beautiful.
Right. And she's a nurse. And she converted for you.
She gave up Christ for you. Sorry. Every
Shout
time.
Out Harry. Every time. Every time. So yeah, that was super interesting to find out. And I wonder what's going on now. All I want is an update. That's like literally all I want for my life.
Well, if you guys haven't seen the teaser for the reunion, check it out on BravoTV.com.
Well, then I was going to say, then we end on womp womp. Even the music kind of did that. And I was like, harsh Bravo. but yeah, I didn't know that she got married in a turtleneck.
Oh.
Like, I didn't know it was so casual.
Right, yeah, because we didn't get to see it.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was like I thought it was like a wedding. Well, at the time, I was even like, how did she pull that off? It's been like a month.
It seems like we're going to get more answers as to what happened.
I felt like the end of the season, I still had all these questions for Shervin.
Right.
Because there was that phone call on the Hill.
Right.
And then we got no more answers.
I know. Think it may be at the reunion?
I think so, but I got to interview him, and I got all the answers. I asked about and I asked about and I asked what his was, and he told me everything because they're best friends. But we can't play it for you now because you're all going to find out at the reunion. But I know.
All right, last, certainly not least, OC, also, oh my God.
OC, more like, oh my God. Megan just wrote, why, Shannon, why? I just wanted to say it like that.
We'll get into that. I wanted to start with what just tickled me about this episode, which is no one can really stand each other. I mean, that's not true. Like, Tamara and Shannon are friends, but, you know, they're kind of annoyed with each other right now. Vicky and Tamara do not speak, nor do Shannon and Vicky. Lydia can't really stand Shannon.
No.
Peggy is just kind of in a weird place with a lot of the ladies.
Right, but she has Lydia.
But so Lydia's like, hey, you know what? Let's all go on vacation together to Iceland.
So picture a faraway land with these colors dancing in the sky, also maybe known as the Northern Lights. And I think it would be so fun to go to Iceland.
Not an easy trip, you know.
Right, right. It's not like just spa days and like
right.
vodka bars. It's just like climbing.
Yeah, like I hope next episode is not just them climbing.
I mean, like, I know it is. Nothing makes me happier than when Vicky has to do physical activities.
Right. Like but
zip line.
I don't know. It's like you know that the vacation is going to come. You know, like it is now a staple of our Housewives series. But of all the groups that maybe should not be together in a foreign country is this one.
Right.
But that said, I'm more excited than ever for this trip.
Oh, my God. I know. It's going to be amazing. But I'm like, this is backtracking to last week. We didn't get to talk about it. Like, I really thought that Vicky and Tamara were going to have, like, a moment, especially because of what happened at Kelly's house a few episodes ago, because I felt like
they wanted it.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened, or if, like, I don't know if you've ever met up with someone and then, like, you kind of get riled up on the way there, and by the time you're there, you're, like, not in a place to have that conversation. And I have a kind of a feeling that that's a little bit what happened to Tamara and Vicky. But it's, like, it's I think we're done.
But on the next on, we see them sort of giggling.
Did we?
Get in this thing.
It's too small.
What size is it?
It's like a kid's size.
Yeah, like she's trying on clothes and you see Tamara sort of smiling and then you see Shannon in the background like not happy that they're laughing.
Shannon.
Did you hear in my interview when I said to Vicky, do you think Shannon is the reason you and Tamara haven't made up? She goes, what do you think?
It's like, I don't know.
No, maybe. I'm sorry, Vicky. I mean, what I was going to say is, like, maybe Tamara talked to Shannon right before going into this conversation with Vicky.
Well, that's what Vicky said. She has people in her ear. I have people in my ear. And it's like, how can you move on when everyone's constantly like, how could you forgive that person?
That bird's chirping in my ear. Don't ever be friends with her again. Don't ever trust her again. I know Tamara's heart. I know that she cares for me, and I know she loves me, and I love Tamara. There's a lot of opinions going on.
But maybe they will.
I know. Well, yeah. But let's get into the
drama of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they go to dinner to Megan's house to have their auras read.
As you do.
Yeah, as psychic. And then, like, immediately a lot of the girls are like, I don't believe in that. I don't want to do it.
I don't care for psychics. Our psychic is God. They say Jagadakir. On my forehead, whatever's written on your forehead, that's what's gonna happen. I'm here for Megan, I'm not here for the psychic.
Like, party poopers.
Right, come on, just like hear what your aura sounds like. I've gotten my aura red, I have a picture of it.
Yeah, it's purple, right?
It's, I have a magenta afro, is what I was told. Yes, and like orange body part.
I don't know, I feel like if you don't believe in that sort of thing, then don't take it seriously.
Right. Then it's all, like, mumbo-jumbo. It doesn't matter anyway.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know. It gets very
The devil.
Yeah. Well, I'm someone that's, like, very afraid of a Ouija board.
Right.
Like, I'm like, don't let it in my house. I think it has the devil in it. So, like, that's what I think of when they're that level of, like, I don't want any part of it. That's
right.
That's very scary.
Right.
Where I'm like, if it was a Ouija board, I get it.
Yeah. But so, again, we're trying to get to the bottom of this whole Peggy versus Shannon thing.
Or David versus Deco thing.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Shannon's still upset that Deco would even bring it up to her at their party.
My husband has done a lot of shitty things, but he did not try and grill Deco.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not going to defend myself over this nonsense. It's stupid.
But I do think that it's an unfair thing because Peggy tried to reach out several times and then at dinner was like, Shannon, I'm going to bring it up because I think that you're upset at me. I've tried talking to you. Will you talk to me? Like, what is going on?
You know, something's bothering me. If something's bothering me, I like to lay it out on the table.
Oh, what I do now?
Because I don't like to keep it bottled in. I feel like, Shannon, I did text you and I did call you. I need to hear anything back from you.
And then it just exploded.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even going to say that, like, oh, I totally get where Shannon was coming from because I don't think even Shannon looking back wouldn't say that. Like,
right.
she seems to also be like, what was I thinking? Like, why was I so emotional?
Last night was a real turning point for me. I'm absolutely humiliated.
Right.
Well, at the bottom of it, we know it's because she has a lot of feelings about David right now and it's all
right.
Coming out in other ways.
And it didn't help that this situation was about David. I think that because David was directly involved with it, it didn't help the situation. Like, had it been something Shannon did or even Tamara did or something, but the fact that it was dealing with her husband, who she's having issues with, that probably didn't help the situation.
Yeah. Also, low blow Peggy with the, do you trust your husband?
I cannot tell if she knew or not.
That's the thing. She has a very, like, Tamara calls it resting bitch face. I think it's like a poker face.
Yes. Like, I can't, like, I want, and I like Peggy, so I don't want to believe that she would be so
but in the heat of the moment,
mean,
you know,
and biting.
Everyone, yeah.
And I don't think we've seen that from her before.
Right.
Like, she'll defend herself, but she won't, like,
cut at someone.
Yeah. So I thought that, so, but at the same time, if she knew it all, what are you asking? That's going to be harsh.
Right.
It just all was bad, but I loved the moment where Shannon was like, I'm sick of everybody painting me to be the asshole. And Tam was like,
I'm tired of being made the f***ing asshole.
Then stop acting like one.
That is why I think, I don't know if you agree, Tamara's a really good friend. And the fact that she won't yes you, like, she tells you when you're acting insane.
Yes. I'll say she will do that.
I'm not saying she's not going to not talk about you behind your back. Right. She is a real housewife, after all.
I know. I wonder what Shannon thinks when Tamara's in an interview being like, Shannon's crazy.
I feel like Tamara has probably told her. Like,
to her face.
You know, going back to Shannon's first season, it's Tamara that was, like, holding her down.
The truth will come out.
Yeah, who's like, wait, what did she scream at her? It was like,
Tamara.
Stop it! Yeah. Like, she very much is trying with Shannon to be like, you look insane right now.
Right.
You're not coming off well. Just let it go.
Right. It's stupid. Stop. Why do you even care? Like, don't get so emotional. But then at the end, first of all, harsh flashback, Bravo. Like, I know why you did the flashback with, like, when Shannon was like, last time we were together, I was on this couch and you were on this couch.
You know what's freaking me out right now is I had a conversation with you four years ago where you were sitting right there and I was sitting right here.
But yeah, then at the end she admits that, like, she's having problems again with David and she feels alone. When she said that, I was like, ugh.
I'm having some issues with David and I'm not looking for pity. I'm not trying to throw a pity party for myself, and I'm not playing a victim. I'm just sad.
I think she's great, and I don't know why David can't see it.
Message to David Bedore.
Yeah.
And, like, of course, it all just happened, like, within a couple years.
Right.
If there's any problems at all, it's going to bring her right back to that. I would.
I still am not over the guy who cheated on me.
Yeah. Ugh. It just makes me so sad because I don't think that Shannon ever does anything with ill will. I think she's just really emotional.
Yeah.
And can't control herself. Shannon. But next week, Iceland.
Iceland. Yeah, I like that we ended on the plane. We got the traveling out of the way. Next episode, we're there. And it looks like Tamara and Lydia are going to have a little bit of a feud.
So we're going to look forward to that trip to Iceland.
Yeah.
I've never been, but I want to go.
So my rose is actually from this episode of OC.
Okay.
That Shannon goes, what kind of pot are you trying to stir? And Peggy goes, my feelings pot.
What kind of pot are you trying to stir is what I want to know.
My feeling pot.
Oh, yeah, when she said my feelings pot. That was amazing. That was really good. Thank you for reminding me of that. My rose is that when Vicky was packing, she was like, can you even whoop it up in Iceland? And it just made me really happy because, of course, of all the things that Vicky could be worried about on this trip, it's where could I possibly whoop it up?
Yeah.
So is there a place to whoop it up there? Like,
I don't really see anything.
What's their drink of choice?
Vodka.
Vodka? I can do vodka.
Do you think she has it tattooed somewhere?
Oh, God, that would make me so happy. She was just like,
tramp stamp.
Whoop it up.
Yeah.
Oh, tramp stamp. And I'll just go right into my thorn, which was this week on New Jersey. And I love Danielle Staub. She is my love and my light. But she wore this pink leather oversized blazer. And that is my thorn.
And it just hurt your heart.
It just hurt my heart. It hurt my eyes a little bit. But I love her. And that's why it hurts so much.
Thank you guys for listening. We want to hear your roses and thorns, as always.
My feeling pot. Sorry, I just saw feeling pot again. It's so
feeling
funny.
Feeling pot is funny. And I feel like I have a feeling pot.
What kind of pot are you trying to describe? My feeling pot. Anyway, thank you guys for listening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We want to know what your roses and thorns were this week. You can tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
And me at Rachie Robb. And until next time.
Good as gold.
Different Sheena Shea song,
but also a good one.
Yes.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss me.